Welcome to KC by Sari, a podcast for Kansas City enthusiasts. I'll take you behind the scenes and you'll learn why this Midwestern gem is so special. In today's episode, I talked to Taryn, owner of Teacher Turned Trainer. Previously an elementary school teacher, Taryn decided she needed a change in her career. Using her teaching background and love for dogs, Taryn started her own training business, working hands-on with dogs and their owners. Here is Taryn to talk about her unique approach to dog training.
KC by Sari. If you wanna know where to go and what is on trend, KC by Sari, she's your friend.
I would love to hear from you, your background in dog training and how this really came to be.
So my business is called Teacher Turned Trainer. And got the name because before I was a dog trainer, I was an elementary education teacher for 5 years. Started in third grade and then had 1 year in second grade before I moved on to this career. But it just kind of, the last year of teaching, it kind of got to the point, it was post-COVID. During COVID, I ended up teaching third grade online and at one point had 27 third graders online at the same time through four different schools in the district. And it was a lot. It was challenging in a great way, very different experience, but then coming back into the classroom, switching to a new grade, it became a lot for me. My mental health took a big hit and it just like was becoming clear that even though that's what I went to college for, I grew up always thinking I was going to be a teacher. It didn't necessarily seem like the right path for me anymore. So it was around spring break that I put in my notice. I finished out the school year and everything, but just, you know, hey, I'm not coming back. But my husband, we've been married for 4.5 years and he's amazing. And he was like, we're not going to just jump into the next thing. I want you to, you know, take some time and figure out what you want to do. And it was almost like I had an epiphany. I was out walking. I have three dogs. I have a 6.5-year-old pit bull, a 3.5-year-old Great Dane, and then a year old thing. I literally call her thing. She's 8 pounds. She fits in your two hands. She's like 10 different breeds. She looks like she's 15. She's, you know, she's nuts. But I was out walking Sinclair, who's my pit bull. He's highly reactive, highly anxious, scared of everything. We've been through the ringer with him. We've done a lot of training before I became a trainer. And then I continued it with him and I was out on a walk. And like, he was thriving. Like there are other dogs around. He's listening to me. We're going through all of the steps that I've taught him. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to work with dogs like Sinclair. I want to just spend my days with dogs and those who, you know, just love and want to get better and things like that. And so I came home and started putting that plan in place. A few months later, it ended up that Sinclair was going through a double knee surgery. So couldn't really do anything for 12 weeks except sit with him in the living room because he can't move. So that's when I started working on my certification and got certified and finished all my testing and things like that. And just started, I just started with the basics of becoming a trainer and starting to do it that way. At first I thought maybe like I'd open up my own daycare for that was catered towards reactive dogs or dogs that don't necessarily fit into the normal mold of daycare. And who knows, that might be down the road, but for now it's just, I've loved doing the types of sessions I am and the training and being able to work with all different families and all different types of dogs and stuff like that.
How was that transition for you? Having that teacher background and mentality going from being an elementary school teacher to training with dogs, did it feel like sort of a seamless transition in terms of, you know, of course what you are doing and your audience is a little different, right? But still, yeah. Teach and direct is not a skill that everyone has.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was more seamless than what I anticipated. Partially like on the creative side, I do all of my own marketing and, you know, website, design, all of that kind of stuff. I've done that all my own. So being able to use like the creative side of my brain from teaching was very effortless, very seamless. And I was just able to just jump right back into that and all of the projects that I would do during teaching. But like the teaching side of it and the instructor type of mindset, I still use more than you would think. Even like on my website, and I have a bio about myself and stuff like that. And I even say from two legs to four, because I like to joke, like I'm still teaching. I'm just teaching those with four legs instead of two legs, because it's still trying to figure out the right process. Every dog is different, just like every student is different. And dog training, I mean, it's training the dogs, but it's 50-50 training a dog, but also training an owner to communicate with their dog. So it's still, it's very similar to an instructor mindset, just very different environment teaching dogs rather than children.
You said you're doing all your own marketing. What process have you been taking to find clients?
It's been a lot of, I'm very lucky to have such a village behind me in Kansas City. I grew up in Shawnee, elementary school, high school, I went to KU. So I've always been in the community. And then when I was teaching, I taught in the same district that I grew up in. So all family, all friends, like everybody's here and local. So I've been really lucky and very grateful to have such a village behind me that anything I post, they're sharing, they're commenting, they're sharing, you know, they're putting me on their community, their neighborhood groups, things like that. So I would say a lot of my clientele is coming from word of mouth, which is awesome. And then as of lately, the more clients that I build up, and I'm about a year and a half into this business now, I am now getting new clients from returning clients, and they're, you know, happy with my services and things like that, and passing me on to other people, which is a great feeling to have that one was happy with me. So they're moving me on to somebody else.
What have you loved most about not only being a business owner, but being a dog trainer? What has been the most rewarding thing for you?
I would have to say, like, it's probably those clients that, you know, just like I had students, there's always those students that stick with you. It's the same thing with training. There's certain clients that stick with me. So I would say that's the thing that stands out to me most, is that all of the clients that come through that maybe had more than just basic obedience help, or it was reactivity, or just trying to get them acclimated into their own home. And it was sometimes you question, I feel like everybody probably does in their work, of like, you question if you're really doing it right, or if you're really making a difference. So those clients that, like, I walked away, like, knowing that I've made a difference and I can see a huge change in the dog and the family, how they're reacting with each other, that is like the biggest notch in my cap that I could ask for.
Describe your approach. What makes you different from other dog trainers in Kansas City?
So I got my certification in positive reinforcement training. So everything that I do is based around redirection and rewarding the behaviors we want to see rather than, and ignoring the behaviors we don't want to see. So I don't use consequences very much. I don't use any type of techniques or accessories, you might say, that could potentially be a consequence for the dogs. So for example, I don't use chain collars. I don't use like the vibration or like shock collars, things like that. That the farthest thing that I would do is I've done a collar that has the beep on it. There's no shock. There's no motion or anything to it. It's literally just a sound on it. So I would say that's typically what pulls me away from other trainers. And not that those that choose traditional methods are doing it wrong. That's just, they're trained in that. And that's great if that works for your dog. That's just not what I choose to. So I think I like to bring a positive spin to everything. I like to show owners to focus on what they do want to see from the dogs and reward and just see that excitement in the dogs, because it has been proven that positive reinforcement training lasts longer in a dog's mentality and what they remember than other traditional methods, because you're pairing their behaviors with something they want. So in the long run, they're going to keep wanting that thing. So they're going to keep doing the activity or the behavior that you've asked them to do.
I hate to compare children to dogs, but was that an approach for you as well when you were teaching? Or is that something that just through the dog training process and certification learning that was an approach that just really spoke to you?
I did my research before I chose the program that I got certified in. And part of the reason I chose it was because it was positive reinforcement, because that is what I used in my classroom. And those were the practices that not only I did, but that the school that I worked in thrived on and, you know, encouraged all of their teachers to use. So again, seamless transition. It made sense. You know, I already have this type of background, so why not continue it?
Can you give a brief explanation of the different levels of trainings that you offer?
So I have a few different packages. Everything's school themed, so it's really fun. Even at the end of any package that you buy, there's always a graduation ceremony. So I even have like certificates that I always say is worthy of the fridge because they graduated their program. We take photos either with a bandana or like even a graduation cap on if the dogs, you know, allow us to do that. But I have things that range from, I have a package that's called preschool that if you're getting a new puppy and you're a brand new owner and you have no idea what to do, call me and I will come over. We'll set up your house. We'll go shopping. You know, we'll do anything that you need to get ready for the puppy to come in. And then training packages, I have three different packages. It ranges from 4 sessions to 6 sessions to 8 sessions. And I tell owners, it's really just like how much they want to get, what they need to accomplish, what behaviors they're seeing. And then we kind of just cater what they're seeing and what they need into however many, sessions that they choose. And then along with training, I also actually do wedding services. People can hire me for their wedding, for a certain time amount. And really it's like, however you want your dog to be incorporated with your wedding day, that's for me to worry about. And you just get to enjoy their presence. So like I'm working a wedding this Saturday and it's 2 Yorkies. And they bought my package where I'm going to go pick the dogs up. We're going to the Nelson Atkins Museum for pictures. And then I take them back home. I've even done a wedding where we ended up walking the dogs down the aisle because they were the ring bearers and did pictures and all of that. So I like to give a very wide range of whatever I feel like a client in the area might need. I want to be able to give that to them.
Especially with millennials, you see memes and you hear stuff on the internet all the time of how our age group truly does treat our dogs and pets like children, like above previous generations, that our dogs are like really, really part of our families. Yeah. And I know a bunch of people who have wanted their dogs to be part of their wedding in some way, but
didn't have the opportunity.
Wasn't feasible with timing and the schedule. So it's so fun to hear that you offer that service as well.
Well, and coming from a person, like I said, I've been married for 4.5 years. We got married in 2019. At the time we only had Sinclair, who is, you know, the easiest way to put it is I say Sinclair is not suitable for public. He is like my best friend. He is the reason I'm a trainer. Like my logo, you see the dog ears in the logo. That's his ears. You know, he's everything to me. You talk about millennials and the big thing is soul dogs. Like he's my soul dog, you know, he's everything, but he's not suitable for public. So how was I going to bring him to my wedding or try to incorporate him? So I didn't get that chance. So we did other things to, you know, mention him during the day, but I would have loved an opportunity if somebody would have been able to help me with that and be able to incorporate him somehow. It would have been, you know, made my day even that much better. So that was the big inspiration of like, I want to give somebody the chance that I didn't have, because it would just, you know, they're everything. I know I keep saying it, but you know, it's just, they're your kids. So why not try to incorporate them as much as you can?
What are some challenges you've faced in this industry and since becoming a business owner?
I would say my biggest struggle has probably been it's trying to keep like my own brain in like on track and not try to like overthink things, because this is all new to me. I mean, coming from education and I'm working for somebody else, I've never had a situation where I'm my own boss. So now owning my own business, starting my own business and now trying to run it, fantastic experience, but you know, very stressful. And now I'm seeing that what I'm not worrying about, but what I'm getting stuck on the most is trying to wait out the ebb and flow of the business. And there's going to be super busy times and there's going to be super low times that, you know, nobody really needs to book a dog trainer and it's not a priority right now. And for me, it's like, it's just trying to keep that in mind of what else can I do? And if I'm not getting a lot of clients at the moment, because otherwise, you know, I'm going to sit in a spiral and like, oh my gosh, is my business going to fail? Am I doing something wrong? What do I need to do to fix this? Because I am so new to it. And it's funny, it's, you know, you sit and you think about it. And then 2 days later, you have new opportunities that have popped up. And it just kind of reinforces like, I'm doing the right thing. I am continuing to grow my business. Patience has just never been my strong suit. And so trying to keep that in track and keeping myself calm and focused on other projects that I can do inside of my business is the biggest struggle for me, and just trying to keep that all in mind.
You want to feel successful all the time. And as you said, like you have to remind yourself that there are times, you know, it's okay if things aren't right at the peak or you're like coming down from peaks, there'll be another peak and just being able to reassure yourself in those moments.
And it's also hard, I feel like, just trying to place yourself in a community that is as large as Kansas City, because it's huge. It's a fantastic community, but there are, I mean, all the different neighborhoods, and just, you know, you've got Kansas City, Missouri, but then you've also got the Kansas side, which is basically the same thing. Like, it's so big. So to try to keep it in mind of like, it's not personal. Like, if I'm not getting clients, if they're not booking with me, it's not necessarily because they didn't like me. It's because they just, you know, dog training is not a priority right now. And it might not be a major priority for everybody, which I totally understand, but it's just, it's hard to like place yourself on the business and the professional level and not take it to the personal level of like, I did something wrong and that's why I'm not getting new business or something like that.
What are some goals for you over the next few years? Where would you like to see you in your business?
I would love to keep growing clients and, you know, working organically in the community like I am now. But maybe even going back to like what my original goal was, is opening up a dog or a dog daycare or something like that. Cause I don't have my own space at the moment, which for now works great because all of my sessions that I do are private and in-home, which that's where you see the behavior. So let's train the behavior where you're seeing it happen. So it works for now, but you know, the more I grow, and if I ever got to the point where I needed employees or something, it would be nice to have my own building that I could do training out of. I could do doggy daycare, go back to specifically working with reactive dogs and giving them a place to go during the day if their owners are working. I think that's always going to be in the back of my mind since that's where I first got the idea to get certified. But, you know, being able to revisit that idea in the future would be awesome. I mean, coming from a job and nothing like, I mean, I loved my time as a teacher. I still keep in contact with some of my students and parents and things like that and stay up to date on what's going on. It wasn't the right fit for me anymore. And so to come off of a job where I was at a very low point, you know, mentally, to then start this business and get it going and like look forward to what I'm doing every day and being able, like you said, all of the furry friends, like I walk in and we joke that dogs know me as the treat lady. You know, by the second or third session that I have with a family, they're coming up, they're super excited to see me because they know why I'm there and they know what I'm going to give them. And it's just, you know, you feel it's the best serotonin boost that you can ask for sure. And it started out to cut costs, but now it's just, it works and they're so easy to make, but I make my own treats that I take to all of my training sessions and things like that. And they're peanut butter flavored and it has, you know, applesauce and all this stuff in it. And so they are highly popular amongst all the clients.
That's so great that you make your own.
Well, even on my social media, I have a Facebook page and Instagram for my business. And I've started a series that's called Will Glenda Eat It? Glenda is my Great Dane. She is the pickiest eater I've ever met. We put all of these pet friendly and human friendly foods in front of her, which my other two would, I mean, gobble up and they would be obsessed with. And she will sniff it and then stick her nose up at it and just be like, nope, I don't like it. Like, we've tried everything. We've tried, strawberries, celery. What else have we done? We've done raspberries. We've done carrots, trying to show it's, you know, fun. Cause it's showing like snacks that you're eating that you can share with your dog, but then also, is Glenda going to eat it? Because most of the time she doesn't. And the two most popular, she loves pumpkin. So that was a win. But the most recent one for Valentine's Day, I made pink treats and they're frozen strawberry banana treats, but all of the ingredients are human friendly. It's honey and yogurt and bananas and strawberries. And she loved them, like went in for seconds and everything. But it's just so funny that, of course, the two things that Glenda likes are the two things that I have to home make for her, because she won't just, you know, eat whatever else is out there that is available to her. But it's been fun to put that out on Facebook and Instagram, and people are just cracking up because she even has like such an expressive face, like looking at me like, are you stupid? Like, I'm not going to eat that. I don't like that. I don't know why you're trying this. She's a mess, but we love her.
It's so funny to hear how different dogs' personalities can be, which again, I'm sure there are people who'd be upset to hear me say it, but like that really shows how similar dogs and humans can be, that like, it is not a one size fits all. Like, dogs really have personality traits and characteristics and needs. So it's just always funny to hear kind of comparing, you know, one dog to the other and what they like and dislike.
Well, even like in, I mean, take it small and go within my own home. I mean, I have, like I said, I've got a wide age range. I've got a wide size range, and every single one of them has just such a different personality. But then you take that to training, and that's where my teaching background really comes in handy, because like you said, I mean, you hit it perfectly of like, it's not one size fits all. Every dog is not going to be the same. And even within a home, like just because one dog learns a certain way does not mean the second dog is going to learn that same way. So it's always a game of trial and error and figuring out what works best, not only for the dog, but for the family to put in place as well. And you just always want to try to find what's going to fit best for everybody involved, rather than just, you know, give up and not try. It's try again until we figure out what works best, just like you would for, you know, a human student in the classroom.
When you are not working, what does life in Kansas City look like for you?
Also, this is my main job, but I also work part-time at a winery. It's called Serendipity Farm and Vine out in Stillwell. But I'm their creative director. So I do their marketing, website. I do a lot of events out there, trivia nights, music bingo, things like that. So I usually work twice a week there and then do all of the marketing at home from that. So I spend a lot of time there. I love to read. So usually it's hanging out at home with my dogs. Big fan of staying active and going to the gym. So that's become one of my new hobbies, actually. And I love going to Pilates classes and things like that. But a lot of my time is really focused on my dog training and going out to the winery and doing all of their events and stuff, which is a blast of a second job to have. I mean, who wouldn't, you know, want to work at a winery and all of that. It's really fun way to spend my time.
Being able to really have those moments for you and in situations, but it doesn't necessarily feel like work. It's great.
We talked about patience, and, you know, I will fully admit that I'm not a very patient person. I love to be on the go. I love to have things to do. So to have different outlets like that and have dog training, but then also have the winery, and it's similar work with the marketing wise, but then otherwise it's completely different. So like putting on different caps of what job I'm working has been a lot of fun.
What are some of your favorite local businesses in Kansas City to support?
So dog wise, I love Canine Closet. That's over off of Warnell. We are known, my girls, Glenda and Tallulah, go to daycare. Sinclair, like I said, is not suitable for public. We always get compliments when we take the girls to daycare, because every month they have a different collar. Like, those are my accessories for them. I change it every month. And usually the girls are in bows and all this stuff. But most of the time I get my collars from Canine Closet, and they're just so fun and unique. So dog wise, I love Canine Closet and also Brookside Barkery. They just have such a wide range of treats and toys and like anything you could ask for. Personally, like I said, Serendipity Farm and Vine is one of my favorite places to work and hang out. Another little plug, starting, you know, staying in the family with small business, but my sister owns a liquor store on the Kansas side, but it's a family owned business. She's the fourth generation of our family to own it, which is super cool. I love pop-up bars. Actually, it's funny. I don't drink. But I love going to a pop-up bar and finding a good mocktail. My mom and my friend and I just a few weekends ago went out to Vignettes in the Northland and did their Dolly Parton pop-up bar. I mean, so fun, and finding them all over Kansas City. I'm a big sports fan, so love to do KU games, things like that, and find fun spots to watch those. I used to work at Shenanigans over on the Kansas side. Just a fun little boutique and just a find whatever you would need for yourself or a gift.
You mentioned not drinking alcohol. There's so many amazing bars now that have really expanded on their non-alcoholic drinks. Sure if you've been to Wild Child in Shawnee. Jay Sanders and his whole team are so amazing. It's Wild Child and Dressing Measures, and they're right next to each other. But I know Wild Child has a rather large non-alcoholic drink menu as well. But especially through Dry January. I will admit I did not participate in Dry January, but I knew many people who did and was in a lot of conversations with friends this year about how they are seeing a really big increase in the non-alcoholic beverages.
Well, and it makes you feel like you can like participate, you know, like a few months ago, we had my sister's bachelorette party before she got married and we stayed down on the plaza and we went to the Mercury Room and went to the Monarch Bar and then went over to Prime Social. But both of those places, I was still able to participate and find a delicious mocktail that I wanted and still feel like I'm, you know, a part of the group instead of just sitting there with, you know, a glass of water or something like that. But I love it too, because I feel like it's been a very new thing. You haven't seen that all the time of how many different businesses are embracing that practice and all of the different options you give.
What is something about you that would surprise listeners?
Yeah, I would say, I was thinking about this today because you did a great job preparing me for our talk and stuff. And I read that question and I like immediately started thinking about it. And I even called my husband and I said, okay, I want to know what you think. So we came up with different things, but I would say one of the biggest, it's something that I pride myself on. But I have lost 130 pounds over the past 3 years. In 2020, I had gastric bypass and was just ready to make a life change. And from there I've lost the weight and have kept off 130 pounds, which then factored into my decision to not drink, because before I lost weight, I was, you know, I would drink everything that you shouldn't be drinking. You do the sugar and the carbonation and all of that. And it just wasn't a part of my lifestyle anymore. So, you know, mocktails and being able to splurge on that every once in a while is great. But for the most part, just being able to keep up the lifestyle that I would want for myself. But it was a huge life change, but it was really hard work. But it, like I said, I pride myself on it because it changed my life.
Wow. Congratulations. That's amazing. After getting the surgery, what motivated you to continue to keep up with your health?
I wanted something different for myself. And, you know, it's no shame. I'm not ashamed of, you know, who I was before the surgery or anything like that. I needed to make a change for my own life. And that's where I went with it. And so that's been my biggest motivation is I want to continue. It's a huge feat to lose 130 pounds. So I don't really want to do anything to falter from that or, you know, backtrack on the progress that I've made, but it's opened up so many different like new hobbies for me and new likes and stuff. Like, I mean, the gym, I don't know if I've ever had a healthier relationship than going to the gym than I do now, because for the first time in my life, I'm not going because I feel like I have to lose weight or I have to hit a certain cardio goal or anything like that. I'm going for myself because I enjoy it. And it's turned into, you know, weightlifting and Pilates and all these things that I don't think I ever would have tried in the first place. And so I think it's just like, it's my weight loss opened up a new person within me. And I like that person and I want to, you know, be happy with that person. So I'm going to do what I can and what I want to make me happy. Hence the career change. Cause I really do. I don't know if I wouldn't have had the surgery or if I wouldn't have made this lifestyle change, if I would have, you know, had the guts to break out and start my own business. Like it just, you know, it changes a person. And for me, it changed in a very, very positive light.
Physical transformation aside, to be able to talk about like how much you just enjoy life now and finding these new hobbies, finding things that make you happy, being able to then recognize that not just physically, but like then in your career to also want to make a change, and then feeling like that motivation can be harnessed and used in other ways in your life that doesn't have to just be health related in terms of your physical self, but your mental health, your emotional health. I love everything you just said. And I think that's so, so incredible.
No person deserves to feel like they're stuck. Like nobody should ever have to feel like they're stuck in, you know, their body, in their job, in their mental state, and, you know, whatever you need to do for yourself to find outlets to pull yourself out of that stuck feeling. I'm all for it because every person deserves to find what they want to do to make them happy.
What advice would you give to people, whatever the case might be in their life, are looking for a change or maybe recognizing that they aren't happy with their career, with something in their life, but having been through such an amazing career transformation and health transformation. What advice would you give to other people maybe in a similar situation?
I would say, I think I have two biggest pieces of advice that definitely helped me. My first one is that if you have a village around you, if you have confidants, friends, family, you know, even a therapist, whoever is in your corner and somebody that you feel like you can rely on them with your thoughts. Because there's no way that if I would have just been on my own and just said, you know, I want to do this, I would have been stuck in my own head, and I wouldn't have done it without my husband, without my friends, without my family telling me that I should try to do it. So my first piece of advice is to lean on those around you, even if you're not used to accepting help, which is me. I'm very independent. I like to do everything on my own. So relying on other people is hard, is a challenge for me at times, but in a situation like this, rely on those people around you that you trust and that you love, because they are going to give you the best advice for you, and they don't want anything besides the best for you. And so let them help you through this journey. My second thing would be to jump and do it, even if it fails. I think even if this business, you know, and who knows what's going to happen in the future, but even if this like failed right off the bat, I don't think I would have been upset with myself if it would have failed. I think I would have been more upset with myself if I didn't at least try it, because it was a huge passion of mine. It's still a huge passion of mine. And I wanted to try it and put myself out there in the community. And I think I would have been more upset if I didn't try, instead of just sitting back and saying, oh, maybe next year, or maybe I'll try it down the road. So I think that's my other thing, is just, you know, try it. Figure it out how you want to do it, how it's going to run, and try your best and put yourself out there, because there's nothing's going to feel worse than not trying to put yourself out there.
To tie back into dog training, I have so many friends who've gotten dogs through COVID. For a lot of people, there was that big period of adjustment where they were working from home 5 days a week. They got a dog. Their dog was used to them being around. And when they went back to the office, there was a transition period. So even to tie in your advice to people wanting to change any part of their lifestyle with dog training, I think your advice is still applicable, because utilizing your resources is huge. Yes. And I think so many people do fall into that category of being independent.
Well, and I feel like sometimes there's a stigma around dog training of like only bad dogs need training, which is not true at all. First, I don't like using the term bad dog, because I don't think there are bad dogs. I think there are misunderstood dogs, and it's our job, especially my job as a trainer. My job is to help you try to understand them. But even as an owner, like if you want to have the most successful relationship between you and your dog, you have to try to figure out how to understand them. And so it's not just, you don't need a dog trainer just because you're seeing unwanted behaviors or you think your dog is a quote, quote, bad dog. But it's just to, you know, do some fine tuning in the house, because like you said, like we're busy, we have jobs, we're doing all this stuff. We don't have the time to try to figure it out on our own. So why not let somebody come in and give you that help that could make everything, you know, a lot easier for you? But it doesn't have to be just for the big behaviors. It's even, you know, to bring a puppy in, it's a trainer might have a better idea of how to teach them how to sit and lay down, you know, a different strategy that you might not have tried. And it's just helpful to have a second opinion and another ear to lean on and figure out the root of the problem.
What is the best way for someone to contact you if they are needing training? Where is all of your information?
If you're ever needing dog training, I have a website, and it's very simple. I've learned that through this process that I really love the letter T. So if you, it's just, you know, a lot of T's, it's Taryn Tyler at Teacher Turn Trainer. But I have a website, and it's very simple, at teacherturntrainer.com. You can look me up on Facebook or Instagram at the same names of Teacher Turn Trainer, and it's turned ED at the end. You can contact me in all of those different places. Right now I'm running a special that if they book their package by the end of February, that they receive 10% off of that package. You don't have to start the package in the month, but as long as you book before the end of the month, then, you'll get that discount. And I'm sure I'm going to run future discounts. I even do, there's a first responder discount option and referral programs and all of those kind of things. But yeah, I mean, email, phone call, social media, you find Teacher Turn Trainer, and I will be there for whatever you need. And I always tell my clients, and I always say that every package comes with a lifetime communication guarantee. So even, you know, a year down the road, years down the road, if something pops up and you have a question, you need Amazon recommendations, whatever, I always say I'm team dog. So whatever you need regarding your dogs, I'm here for it. And it doesn't have to be, I'm not going to push you and, you know, make you book another package because I'm going to make you pay that money. It's a phone call. It's an email. It's a FaceTime. You know, it's whatever the family needs to be in a better position with their dogs. And I want to be there for every step of their journey.
Taryn, this was so great. Thank you so much for sharing your story and all about your business and your passion and what motivates you. So I hope that anyone listening to the podcast that is in need of a trainer or maybe knows they are getting a dog in the future will keep your information on hand for future use.
Thank you for having me. I love your podcast and I was just listening to your other one with Vine Street Brewery, I think is the name, right? I mean, that's such a cool story. And, you know, one of the first ones down in that area and the first Black owned brewery. So I love your podcast and, you know, being able to advertise and highlight these small businesses of Kansas City. It's just fun little places to learn about that you didn't know before. So it was a joy. And thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Be sure to follow Taryn on social media and book with her for your training services. Taryn is extending her sale for KC by Sari listeners through the end of March. That's 10% off her services through the end of March for KC by Sari listeners. KC by Sari will be taking a break next week as I'm traveling, but be sure to subscribe to keep up when new episodes do drop. For more KC content, follow me on Instagram at KC by Sari.
Say it.